This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, March 3rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Farm Bill on tap today. Texas primary features incumbent senator and state attorney general. Climate risks contribute to food insecurity, according to a report. The House Agriculture Committee takes up a new farm bill today, spurring fresh debate on pesticide safety, tariffs, and other key ag issues. The markup comes amid U.S. military conflict on Iran that could raise farm input prices, as well as uncertainty around President Donald Trump's long-term trade strategy. Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson's proposed farm bill would establish the Environmental Protection Agency as the single authority for pesticide labeling, barring states and courts from requiring labels to include warnings different from what has been approved by the EPA. Ag groups like CropLife America, companies such as Bayer, the U.S. main manufacturer of glyphosate, praise the pesticide language. We need to reconfirm that the EPA regulatory framework is the law, Brian Neighbor, Bayer's head of North America and Australian New Zealand region for crop science, told AgriPulse. This legislation is so important to give innovators certainty that we have a science-driven, well-functioning regulatory agency. The nonprofit group Beyond Pesticides criticized the language for hamstringing litigants bringing lawsuits alleging chemicals such as Roundup cause cancer. EPA has said that glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is unlikely to cause cancer. Representative Angie Craig, the House Ag Committee's top Democrat, has called the Farm Bill's pesticide provision a poison pill. The draft Farm Bill's call to nullify California's controversial Proposition 12 standards for animal welfare will also be among the major topics during the markup. Senator John Hovind of North Dakota told AgriPulse yesterday the Senate Farm Bill will likely align closely with the House version, but also could include a provision to authorize year-round sales of E15. You can read more on the story at AgriPulse.com. The nation will be watching Texas primaries today. Headlining the primary is the Senate race between incumbent John Cornyn, Attorney General Ken Paxton, and Representative Wesley Hunt, a Republican of Texas. Paxton has tied himself closely to the Make America Healthy Again movement. Last year, for example, Paxton reached agreement with Kellogg's to remove artificial colorings from its products. More recently, he started investigating grocery chains for allegedly selling organic produce that contains pesticide residue. Former House Ag Committee member Jasmine Crockett is running against State Representative James Talagrico in the Democratic primary. Also today, top ag lobbyist Tom Sell is running in the GOP primary to succeed the retiring Representative Jody Arrington in the state's heavily Republican 19th district. Sell would instantly become a powerhouse on ag policy in the House. Ag Commissioner Sid Miller is battling to keep his office. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has endorsed his GOP challenger, Nate Sheets, who founded a popular brand of honey and now owns a 10,000-acre ranch in West Texas. Montana seat opens up. Montana GOP Representative Ryan Zinke has announced he is retiring and not running for re-election, leaving Republicans in a tough spot. Multiple Democrats are running for Zinke's seat, but with a filing deadline of March 4th, the GOP will have to move fast to find a candidate. In a letter to Montanans, Zinke said he has undergone multiple surgeries while in Congress and faces several more. Zinke was a Navy SEAL from 1986 to 2008 and then a state legislator for 4 years before being elected to Congress in 2015. He then became Interior Secretary during the first Trump administration, but resigned while facing multiple ethics inquiries. Zinke was elected again to Congress in 2022. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Global food systems will have to scale up to support an estimated population of 10 billion by the middle of the century. With mounting climate threats and infrastructure development lagging vulnerabilities around, a new report finds. The Economist Impact, a research and events arm of The Economist, will publish its Resilient Food Systems Index today, ranking the reliability of countries' food systems. The U.S. comes in fourth behind Portugal, France, and the United Kingdom. But globally, systems are struggling to address risk stemming from climate change, infrastructure, and agricultural sustainability. Weak transportation and logistics are contributing to high levels of food waste. More than 10% is lost before food hits store shelves, and almost 20% is lost at the household level. Without reliable electricity and internet, the report says, agri-tech solutions aren't rapidly scalable, hampering productivity improvements. Further, efforts to anticipate and mitigate climate shocks are poor and offer a clear opportunity for global improvement, a press release reads. Meat sales continue to drive growth at the retail level, and there's little sign of a slowdown. Industry analyst Anne-Marie Ranke of 210 Analytics told the annual meat conference yesterday. In her annual Power of Meat presentation, Ranke brought the attendees good news. Meat department sales grew 6.8% in 2025, bringing the total amount to $112 billion, which is astounding if you think that it's just being $77 billion in 2019. So we might have inflation, but consumers are moving with us, she said. Will there be a slowdown? Rearink said beef sales have been the top growth area for several years in a row, but with growth as high as it has been, 7% of the last two quarters of 2025, it is logical that we're going to be growing a little bit less if you think about it that way. And what I think we are going to see is a little bit of a recalibrating of dollars to cuts and kinds that are a little bit less expensive. Meat sales, quote, continue to grow, while plant-based meat alternatives continue to decline. Survey data she presented shows consumers are prioritizing animal protein. Asked whether their priority would be in a traditional dinner of a carb, a vegetable, and a meat, 58% of people said it would be the animal protein, she said. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. discussed his own diet at a Q&A with Meat Institute President and CEO Juliana Potts and FMI, the Food Industry Association President and CEO Leslie Saracen. Kennedy said he had seen a myriad of health and cognitive benefits from going on a carnivore diet when he eats only meat and fermented foods such as kimchi and sauerkraut. Today, a large number of the cabinet are on that diet, he added. Here's today's final word. Within 2 years, for the first time in three decades, boomers are not going to be a majority spender, but millennials will, and with that, everything changes. They buy different species and types of meat, and they create completely different meals with the items they buy. They barely use their service counter, though they love advice in different ways. Production claims are important. Convenient solutions are more important. That Anne-Marie Rorick of 210 Analytics at the annual meat conference hosted by FMI, the Food Industry Association, and the Meat Institute. The meat department of the future will have to look very different, she said. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, March 3rd, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nellie.